and Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 21st on the West Coast, now April the 22nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening in tonight on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, as well as on BlogTalkRadio.com. And possibly even folks that listened to me today on True Watch Show on RBN. We had a great show. I got to share some of my recent Eisenhower research, and I just have to tell you that you are going to be amazed at the amount of truth that's going to come forth finally about what has been happening for the past 100 years, certainly the past 65 to 70 years. And I went down the rabbit hole and connected some major dots, even today. And the piece is going to be out on my website and on the Internet by this weekend. So you can look forward to that. Now, before we bring tonight's guest on, in the spirit of this research and what genealogical studies reveal about who our alleged leaders are around the world and how they relate to one another. And this was a song that was originally sent to me by my former publisher and editor at the Idaho Observer, Don Harkins, who is the late Don Harkins, and was a very dear friend of mine, really helped me in my journalist career, getting my work published. And it was what launched eventually this radio show. So we're going to dedicate this song to Don Harkins and to the memory of Johann Adolf Eisenhower.
Many, many years ago when I was 23, I was married to a widow who was pretty as could be. This widow had a grown-up daughter who had hair of red. My father fell in love with her, and soon they two were wed. This made my dad my son-in-law and changed my very life. For my daughter was my mother, 'cause she was my father's wife. To complicate the matter, even though it brought me joy, I soon became the father of a bouncing baby boy. My little baby then became a brother-in-law to dad, and so became my uncle, though it made me very sad. For if he was my uncle, then that also made him brother to the widow's grown-up daughter, who, of course, was my stepmother. I'm my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. It's a funny, I know, but it really is so. Oh, I'm my own grandpa. My father's wife then had a son who kept him on the run, and he became my grandchild 'cause he was my daughter's son. My wife is now my mother's mother, and it makes me blue, because although she is my wife, she's my grandmother too. If my wife is my grandmother, then I am her grandchild, and every time I think of it, it nearly drives me wild.
This has got to be the strangest thing I ever saw.
As husband of my grandmother, I am my own grandpa. I'm my own grandpa. Everybody! I'm my own grandpa. It's so funny, I know, but it really is so. Hey! I'm my own grandpa.
And that goes out to Don Harkins, Johann Adolf Eisenhower, and my listeners. I think you'll appreciate this, and the lyrics to this song are going to make a whole lot of sense and probably help you understand what's in my next piece, which is entitled Teenage Mutant Ninja Birth Certificates. It's the expose on the infiltration of the United States beginning in 1942 and basically carrying on up to date by covert forces from all over the world. And I'll stop there so that we can save some time for tonight's guest. He is the creator and webmaster, editor, and journalist of a website called educate-yourself.org. He's been on the show many times. He has one of the most popular websites in the whole world because you, the listening audience, and his readership go to his website quite frequently, millions of times in this past January, in fact. And I think he had something like 3.91 million hits, if I remember correctly. So an astronomical amount of visitation to his website. He's also very expert in metaphysics and alternative healing methodologies and science. And, we'll talk about some of that tonight with our good friend, my good friend, hopefully yours, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Don. Thank you so much for having me back in. I enjoy these talks very much.
Well, hopefully that song was a bit uplifting, too.
Yes, I remember that song from many years ago. It was sort of a novelty tune that had a lot of popularity, you know, for quite a while. It was a fad tune.
And that's just the truth, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Particularly, you know, when we're talking about these groups, these power groups, these elite groups, the name of the game is intermarriage among their own group. So very often you get strange circumstances of birth. Thank you very, very much for your kind words about the website. I haven't gotten 3.91 million hits to date, so I don't want to exaggerate my hit rate, but I did the last relatively large hit rate I recorded was in October of 2009. It was 3.47. And before that, a big hit rate occurred in January of 2009. I had 3.51. So I don't want to exaggerate or underplay, you know, the sort of numbers I get, but I'm extremely pleased and happy that I get as much traffic as I do. As you know, I don't have the time to put up nearly as many articles as I'd like to put up. A great deal of information comes in, and I store it in files. It's not that I lose it, but it's the time it takes to put up a page is considerable, and I have to attend to other work, so I'm limited on how much I could put up. However, though, from the relatively small number of postings that I do, you know, on a daily basis, I might put one, two, or three postings up a day, and that's pretty much it. I'm extremely pleased at the amount of traffic that I do get. I put a very short article up this morning based on an article that I read at Rents.com. It talked about a Seattle, Washington is going to run a trial program. They're going to install 5,000 streetlights, which are using LED as the lighting source. And the people who know a little bit about how LEDs work, it's actually a transistor effect. An LED is a diode, which normally is used to allow current to flow in one direction only. And however, though, there's a type of diode that can emit light, so they call it a light-emitting diode, and that's where the abbreviation LED comes from. And we all know they've been used for many years as indicators on consoles for you know, on-off, volume, control, all kinds of indicators. And then in the last few years, we've seen flashlights that were made with LEDs, and the advantage is they require very little current, very little power. So batteries last a long time. However, to use LEDs for streetlights can present a lot of problems because LED lighting, while it may be light, it may seem bright, it doesn't contain anywhere near the spectrum of frequencies of color that's found in natural light. And we know from a lot of study that people have done through the ages, there's been a lot of work done in color and color therapy, beginning with the end of the 19th century. And modern lighting that uses fluorescent lights, that uses metal vapors like mercury lighting or mercury vapor, sodium vapor, street lights, etc. The lights are bright. However, the spectrum of the light emits many bands that should be there for the maximum benefit to people. And LED lighting is a far worse example of a very narrow spectrum light than even is fluorescent. And fluorescent is not good. It's not a good source of light. There's been some attempts to correct it by making tubes that have what they call full spectrum, but even those aren't actually full spectrum. That's a marketing word. If you did the study of what they're called, the German word, I think it's Fraunhofer lines, you'll see that there's gaps in even the so-called full spectrum fluorescent light. So
I was going to say, jawohl, mein Kommandant.
Yes, it's Japanese, jawohl. So we have to be careful in not just sharing this stuff on, because it only takes a little current. There's a lot of health problems that go along with, allowing yourself to be bathed in unnatural light spectrums. Mm-hmm. So that's something I wanted to mention. The other thing I put up today is I got a email from James Casbolt, and it's quite a remarkable email. He is clearly quite angry at a fellow in England who is apparently the head of the MI5 group, and James wanted to say some things about that fellow, and he did. So I posted it on my website, and one of the things he mentions in the body of this short note is that the man, his name is Bonner, Alfred Bonner, according to his official record, was born in 1918, which means that he ought to be over 90 years old. But James says he looks more like a man in his early 50s, and he's very buoyant, got lots of energy, and kind of almost comes across like a schoolboy. Now, how is it possible for a man that old to look, act, and function so young?
Well, I would guess that he's watching Jack LaLanne and probably using his juicer.
That's one possibility. There's no doubt about that. I mean, those juicers can't pay off. As Jack well knows, Jack and Elaine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the power juicer can pay off. But I have a hunch that this guy maybe got his power juice from another source. James mentions that this fellow actually worked for the Nazis during World War II, and that he speaks fluent German and, in fact, considers himself to be German. And he says in this little piece that this man, in fact, is much older than even his official stated age, which they claim he was born in 1918. So if that's the case, maybe the man was born around the turn of the century or so forth. So how is it possible we can have a man functioning as if he were in middle age, yet he's 90 or maybe 100 or older? It boils down to technology, which Nazis acquired from extraterrestrials prior to World War II. And we talked about other personalities, such as Joseph Mengele, Reinhard Gehlen,
mm-hmm.
show up in photos that Otto Skorzeny gave to our friend Eric Orion in 1999, in which these guys are seen in photos taken in the 70s and 80s and even late 90s. And, I don't know, they look like guys in their mid to late 50s at the most. Mengele was becoming somewhat round, the fat, but still he had a full blacks, hair, hair. And, he clearly seemed to be a man maybe in his early to mid-50s. So it's my contention that this technology, a lot of upper echelon Nazis have taken advantage of, including Adolf Hitler. We've mentioned it on other shows that Hitler lived to the age of 114. He died in Maryland, 2004, I think.
Yes, yes, 2004.
Under the name of William Coates. So if he could, now Hitler took care of his health. He was a vegetarian all his life. So, he might have lived that long naturally. Who knows? But I have to assume that if his lieutenants like Mengele and Galen, and others, are using this technology, then he likely used it himself. That's what makes sense. So we have to, therefore, when James Caswell talks about this fellow Alfred Bonner as being such an elderly man, yet functioning and looking like a middle-aged man, the average person is going to say, how can that be? It can be, and it is, because there is age regression technology that's been available to the Nazis since the 1930s forward. Al Bielek explained that in lectures he gave in the early 1990s. I have one of those lectures, a tape, that he made in 1992, and he discusses that very thing. So, another man, Tom Bearden, Christopher Byrd, wrote about in the 1980s, was a guy named Anton Piori. He was originally born in Italy, but he moved to France. And he developed a machine that could age regress living tissue. So, for instance, if a dog had a cancerous tumor, he put him in the machine, exposed him to this energy, he could time reverse the dog's age so the cells essentially moved backwards in time until a point was reached in which, let's say, the cancer tumor had not yet even begun to develop. The cell was in a healthy state. And he could, at that point, stop the process, remove the dog, and there was no cancer there anymore. Now, I know this sounds fantastic, but Piori was doing this in the late 1960s and early 1970s.
Now, if I can interrupt for a second, if that's possible, would it be possible to also put that person where they started? In other words, we wouldn't have to ask for the certificate of live birth. We could just go take the short-legged Mac Daddy back in time and put him where he started.
Yes, I don't know if you... my guess is, I realize you're doing this in the interest of humor. But,
I'm serious, too.
I'm going to guess that, no, my guess is this is not a physical teleportation event, but rather it's a time reversal
event. Just wishful thinking.
Just wishful thinking. So if we did reverse, we put the machine on reverse for the long, or maybe it's the short-legged Mac Daddy now. Essentially, if we pushed the handle all the way forward, he'd be going back to a diapered, well, a baby at least, wah-wahing, but I'm afraid he'd still be with you wherever you had the machine. So, no, my guess is you couldn't get him to show up in the land of his birth, which we know well was never Hawaii, though. I just wanted to make that mention. I think what James revealed today was a very hot and heavy piece of information. I'm sure people and British intelligence are not happy that he put that up. But anyway, these things need to come out. So Mr. Bonner apparently is of German origin. Apparently he did, at least according to James Caswell, he was working with the Nazis during World War II and apparently continues to do work along this line. As we know, based on Otto Skorzeny's testimony, the CIA was a more a function of the Nazi group, who Jim Keith referred to as Nazi International, more than they were an American product of American government. The CIA, according to Skorzeny, was actually headed by George Bush Sr. who you've identified as George Scherf, born in Germany. Durlich, Germany, I think you said.
Durlich. And this is also, after I wrote the article, I found an admission at Ellis Island that that is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
So Bush Sr. was secreted as an infiltrator into this country in the 1930s as probably a 14 or 15-year-old boy, and Otto Skorzeny accompanied him during that infiltration. So that's where we get the story from. That's where we get the photos from.
Yes. Quick question. I'm getting chat messages here wanting you to spell the Italian doctor's last name. Was that Priori or Piori? Okay.
P-R-I-O-R-E.
Okay.
First name, Antoine.
Priori.
Priori.
Okay.
So if you go, I have it. I have the store, the link to Christopher Bird's article on Antoine Priori on that Casbolt article. So you can just do a search for Antoine Priori plus Christopher Bird. You'll probably wind up with Tom Bearden's website. He has a number of excellent articles there on Priori. They've been there for a long time. He's had those articles up since the late 80s. It's an amazing story. Everyone should be aware of this story. It's simply, of course, naturally, once Priori's work had become known, there was a flood of reporters into his town, and then the big boys immediately put into gear their, you know, take down and take out operation to put him out of business, which they did. So naturally, the big boys, went to all of these. He had a number of backers who were going to put a lot of money into his research. First, all the backers pulled out inexplicably, so he lost his funding. And then, of course, they got the local prosecutor to trump up some ridiculous, bogus charge against him, and so they can slam him in prison. And otherwise, you know, so they put him through the legal gauntlet. They removed his funding. So, like all these other tremendous pioneers, they get crushed once the big boys, you know, Zionist elite types find out, the Masonic elite types find out, you know, that this guy is really going to make a dent in our profit margins here. So they took him out. Naturally, he died a broken man, you know, destitute, poor, etc. I mean, it's just a tragic, tragic story, which, you know, most people have no idea about because they, of course, suppress the story as well. But Tom Bearden has done a good job, and Christopher Bird, above all, has done the best job because he's the one who really researched it and went there and interviewed people. Christopher Bird was a wonderful person. He died a few years ago. I can't remember exactly, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but he did a wonderful job. He came out with many spectacular books revealing a great deal of important information that's a great benefit to humanity. So if you want to find good books to read, do a search for Christopher Bird. He put out a lot of great books. Okay, so that's a little roundup on current stuff. I'm probably going to use the balance of the show to talk a bit more about radionics. But before that, I just wanted to bring up a little something about Child Protective Services abuse. I hadn't told you this, but you know our family in Texas who's being plagued so badly by the alien infestation problems. Mm-hmm. This lady was put through the gauntlet just a few days ago. Well, maybe it's been about 5 or 6 days now. Her husband set in motion a series of events that eventually caused one of her relatives to call the police on this gal, and she was doing nothing illegal or inappropriate. She was merely parked in the driveway of her mother's home listening to the radio and waiting for one of her sisters to leave. I think this occurred on Easter weekend. She didn't want to communicate with the sisters for a number of reasons. The sister told her, you know, come in the house, and she says, no, it's okay, we'll stay here. When after you go, I'll go in to see Mom. Well, the sister, being influenced by the husband, who was telling the sister, oh, this gal is crazy, and she thinks she's seeing aliens, and yada, yada, yada. And he encouraged her to call the police. He did. The police came there, 4 squad cars, 8 burly policemen, to handle one 115-pound petite woman with 3 or 4 small children in her car. They harangued her to come out of the car. She says, I'm not doing anything wrong here. I don't have to come out of the car. I'm not bothering anybody. Why are you here? Well, we just want to talk to you. Well, you can talk through the window. I don't. Are you talking aliens? She says, I haven't said anything about aliens. She says, what are you talking about? And she says, well, why don't you come out? So they were trying to force her to come out, and she said no. At one point, she felt that they were going to break the windows, and the situation escalated. They weren't going to back down. They told her, well, listen, we're going to leave now, but you just go in the house, okay? And if you do that, we'll leave. So they back away like they're going back to their cars, and she quickly gets out of the car. She has a 2-year-old child in her arms, and she tries to head towards the house. Well, naturally, the cops tackle her, threw her to the ground, almost really hurt the child because she had the boy in her arm, and naturally hurt her, cuffed her, took her to Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, involuntarily committed her to the psychiatric ward for a week. And because she used to work in a mental health hospital, she knew what to say. They forced her to take drugs. If she didn't take the drugs, they were never going to let her do this and never let her do that. So just to play the game with them, she took drugs which she did not need. Anyway, she's well aware of how they operate there, and the staff began to realize after a few days that she really knows the game. She started talking to the staff and to the doctors and say, you gotta let me go. There's no reason for me to be here. Finally, at first she got the first psychiatrist, just out of the box, similar to Yasmin's story, simply declared her psychotic in about 5 minutes or so. She, after a couple of days, she got a more reasonable psychiatrist who, once she told him many things, realized that she's completely sane. He says, there's nothing wrong with you. I don't know why you're here. He arranged to get her out, and within a day or so, after she made it clear she was going to report a number of things to certain agencies that oversee their activity, they let her go. So what happened, though, in the interim is that the CPA...
You mean CPS?
I think in their... maybe it is CPS. I think it's CPA there. Maybe it's Child Protective Agency. Anyway, the ones concerned with this Texas town took control of her kids, and they gave authority to the kids to the very sister who called the authorities on this gal in the first place.
Oh,
so,
and for a treat?
Yeah, right. So, this gal got out. One of her sisters, who happened to be on the staff of that hospital, said, how did you possibly get out? They told me that they were going to put you away forever. How did you do it? So she's already was being set up because of, you know, her complaining and revealing.
What's going on?
What's going on there to me? And because we've had people look in on her and kind of throw a spanner wrench into their little operation there, they're going to make life hard for her now. So she's now she has to essentially play games with this CPA group. They don't want to give the kids to the husband because they've heard enough things from her that indicate that the husband isn't the wisest person to give the kids to either. So she's really going through the ringer. She's obviously very distraught. She's a determined person, a wonderful soul, a very dedicated mother, This is something that stood out to me from the very beginning. And I'm so outraged at the abuse of the CPS, CPA, Child Protective Groups that can, with the snap of a finger of some, you know, social worker or someone who's appointed to this agency without a court order, this is the part that kills me, can make these decisions about whether a parent can be with their child or not. This is an outrage that has to come to an end. I know you've talked about that woman who, forgot her name, she died under suspicious circumstances. Maybe you can elaborate more on that gal who was exposing the abuse of the CPA. Five or 10 minutes to touch on this.
Child Protective Services, that's former Congresswoman Nancy Schaefer.
That's it.
From Georgia. She had been outspoken. In fact, there's a YouTube presentation that I played on this show not too long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, on the heels of the alleged suicide murder where her husband, who they allege was suffering from cancer, wanted to end his life, so he shot her and then shot himself. Of course, this only happens to whistleblowers. And this is a typical farce, and it's how they brainwash the masses who are not privy to what's going on. They're not following this woman's work. She literally exposed all the corruption that's going on, and I've done that too. I know others. Dr. Sheila Mannix is one person whose case I followed for several years now in Cook County and Lake County, Illinois, and it ties into the very organized crime ring that I'm exposing in the Eisenhower research I've done. This is Soviet fascist military tactics to destroy the American family and to make money for the pharmaceutical companies, to put these people in clinics or institutions and prisons. This is also going on there while they plot to steal their homes. So this is definitely something that she is has exposed or had exposed now because she's no longer with us. But I can tell you that what they have done here and certainly prepared their media excuse for what really happened is par for the course. We've heard this many, many times. So I want to stress that what we've heard, what we know about Nancy Schaefer, in her own words, she was of sound mind. She wasn't a depressed person. Certainly she was blowing the whistle about this corruption and said that we have to put a stop to this. This is a national problem. And you just gave us another example of the same thing. So as far as Nancy Schaefer goes, her revelations to the whole nation, really, because this was on a YouTube. In fact, I'm going to look for that and see if I can't find that very piece, and I'll play that for the listeners, for those who haven't heard it. It's quite amazing. Here now we have another real-time case going on in the Dallas, Texas area, where we know these people, this family is absolutely being harassed by the powers that be, and this harassment has really become satanic in nature. I've got the clip. I'm going to play that for our listeners. And this is former Congresswoman Nancy Schaefer from the state of Georgia.
Our next speaker is Senator Nancy Schaefer. Nancy? Oh, there you are. Yes, Nancy is a longtime Eagle Forum member and leader. She has had an organization called Families Family Concerns, which is very effective all over the state of Georgia, and another one called Family Concerns Pregnancy Center. She has been in the Georgia State Senate for several terms and is a member of 6 Senate committees. Please welcome our good friend, Senator Nancy Schaefer.
Thank you, dear Phyllis, and thank you to all of you. I have served in the Georgia State Senate for 4 years. One of my greatest pleasures, other than my sonogram bill, was getting the resolution passed to stop the North American Union. However, for 4 years, I have been confronted with families struggling to remove their children from the clutches of Child Protective Services. I wrote a scathing report last year on the corruption in Child Protective Services, and an update and copies are out on the table. During the last session of the Georgia General Assembly, I introduced Senate Bill 415 relating to juvenile proceedings, and copies of that bill are attached to the report on the tables. The bill 415 called for the time allotted for the Department of Human Resources to provide emergency care to a child without a court order to be reduced from 7 days to 72 hours. It required a court order to enter the residence of a parent or guardian to seize a child. It called for family court to be open to the public. Confidentiality and secrecy in family court protects the wrong people. It provided that immunity in the system shall not extend to the seizures of children that are found to be in violation, nor to the administration of medication to a child over the objection of the parent or custodian, and it provided the state from applying for obtaining, receiving, or accepting adoption incentive payments under the Federal Adoption and Safe Families Act of 1997. The Department of Child Protective Services has become a protected empire built on taking children and separating families. This is not to say that there are not those children who do need to be removed from wretched situations and need protection. However, my report is concerned with the children and parents caught up in legal kidnapping. Having worked with probably 300 cases statewide and hundreds across the country, and in nearly every state, I am convinced there is no accountability in Child Protective Services. I have come to several conclusions. Two or three are, one, that poor parents, not always, but oftentimes, are targeted to lose their children because they do not have the wherewithal to hire an attorney and fight the system. That caseworkers and social workers are very often guilty of fraud. They withhold and destroy evidence. They fabricate evidence, and they seek to terminate parental rights unnecessarily. That the separation of families and the snatching of children is growing as the business grows because state and local governments have grown accustomed to having these taxpayer dollars to balance their ever-growing budgets. That the bureaucracy is huge. Look at who is getting paid. State employees, attorneys, court investigators, guardian ad litems, court personnel and judges. There are psychologists, therapists, psychiatrists, counselors, foster parents, adoptive parents, and on. All are looking to the children in state custody to provide job security. That the Adoption and the Safe Families Act set in motion first in 1974 by Walter Mondale and later in 1997 by President Bill Clinton offered cash bonuses to the states for every child they adopted out of foster care. In order to receive the adoption incentive bonuses, local Child Protective Services would need more children. They must have merchandise that sells, and they must have plenty so the buyer can choose. Some counties often offer $4,000 to $6,000 bonus for each child adopted out to strangers, and an additional $2,000 for a special needs child. Employees work to keep the federal dollars flowing. But that is only the beginning figure in the formula. in which each bonus is multiplied by the percentage that the state has managed to exceed its baseline adoption number. Therefore, states and local communities work hard to reach their goals for increased numbers of adoptions for children in foster care. As you can see, this program is offered from the very top and is run by Health and Human Resources. This is why victims in Child Protective Services get no help from their legislators. It explains why my bill, Senate 415, suffered such defeat in the Judicial Committee, and why I was cut off at every juncture, and why I was defeated myself last month for my re-election by another Republican. That tax dollars are being used to keep this gigantic system afloat. Many grandparents have called me to get custody of their grandparents before being lost in the system. Grandparents who lose their grandchildren to strangers have lost their own flesh and blood. The children lose their family heritage, and grandparents, and parents too, lose the connection of their heirs. And that the National Center on Child Abuse and Neglect in 1998 reported that 6 times more children died in foster care than in the general public, and that once removed to official safety, these children are far more likely to suffer abuse, including sexual molestation, than in the general population. Think what that number is today, 10 years later. Here are a couple of the recommendations on my list. Call for an independent audit of all state child protective services and for a federal congressional hearing on child protective services. Abolish the federal and state financial incentives that have turned child protective services into a business that separates families for money. I have witnessed such injustice and harm brought to so many families that I am not sure if reform of the system is even possible. The system cannot be trusted. It does not serve the people. It obliterates families and children simply because it has the power to do so. What I have said to you in these few minutes is that we must confront the fraud in Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services seizes children using the very system that is paid for by the taxpayer who actually believes it is used to protect abused and neglected children. The bureaucracy of workers benefit financially by a system that converts children into cash while destroying their families and their lives. No child who emerges from the system can ever be sound or whole. Many disappear and never are ever heard from again. God will not stand for what is happening to our children and our families. His heart beats for these children. He will lift up the downtrodden. What is happening in America regarding Child Protective Services is a criminal political phenomenon, and it must be brought to an end. Please join me in working to help set our children and our families free, to whom much is given, much is required. As you pray for this nation, pray for the upcoming election, and for our national financial crisis, please pray for our children and for our families. We all must press on and win this race for America. Thank you very much.
Do you understand how dark it is? How far down the line we are? How late it is?
And that was the former congresswoman from the state of Georgia, the late Nancy Schaefer, who spoke out about the corruption in Child Protective Services. Now, Ken and the listeners out there, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that I've been reporting this very fraud coming out of Cook County, Illinois, not exclusively, Lake County, Illinois, both in the immediate Chicago area, and the money laundering that's done through identity theft in partnership with the Maricopa County Recorder's Office in Phoenix, Arizona, and it has links to money laundering through the Mormon Church in Salt Lake City. Now, this dovetails with my recent research on Dwight D. Eisenhower, a.k.a. Johann Adolf Eisenhower, and this massive Zionist, fascist, and communist conspiracy to destroy this country from within. I'll be providing a lot of proof that definitely describes this process in great detail, how this was done. This is the new dimension. This is the dimension that special prosecutor up there in Chicago, Patrick Fitzgerald, many people have heard that name before, especially during the Bush administration. He was warned not to touch CPS. He was told, go after anybody, but leave CPS alone, or you'll get a bullet between the eyes. We've not heard the description of what Nancy Schaefer or her husband got, but I can assure you she did not commit suicide, nor did her husband commit suicide. If she was murdered, which is quite obvious, she and her husband were murdered by those that are protecting this racket. It's a criminal racket. It's designed to criminally impoverish well-meaning people who have done nothing wrong just to do the very things that she described. Can't argue one word that she said. Ken, what are your thoughts on that? Is this not similar to what Marcy is going through?
Yes, and I gotta say, this is the second time I've heard this clip from you. That's a very well done and adroit presentation. She very succinctly summarizes the crux of the problem with Child Protective Services, and as you say, it's a racket. It's a criminal operation masquerading as a, let's say, a law enforcement functionary. The people who are involved in this are, as you accurately pointed out, there's money being made here, and as Nancy pointed out in her talk, that's the part they're not telling you. They need products because they're essentially getting rewarded. It's kind of a bounty hunters type of reward system. Mm-hmm. And anytime you put that sort of incentive in the normal stream of activities that so-called law enforcement officers are supposed to be involved in, then you create the incentive for corruption. And it couldn't be more blatant with Child Protective Services.
Ken, let me say this, if I may, because this is what you're saying and what I'm recalling about Cook County, Illinois, for example. Dr. Yes. Sheila Mannix, a co-founder with Karen Merringer of Illinois Family Court Accountability Advocates, the IFCAA, spent $400,000 hiring an attorney to get her two young boys back from an abusive father who she divorced. When the father did not make timely payments as agreed according to their divorce decree, she sought relief from the court. And they went after that money plus an additional $600,000 where she represented herself as a pro se litigant. She literally taught herself the law, and she has a right to defend herself. They tried throwing her in jail for practicing law without a license. They made threats to her, made threats to her children through her. Her children were abused. One of her children actually tried to commit suicide in school by taking an overdose of a very powerful cough medicine. And they tried blaming her for this while the child was in the custody of the abusive father, who is involved in the organized crime ring on an international basis. He's and other fathers are as well. I've done quite a bit of legwork and research tracking SBA loans that they funnel to countries like Poland to phony addresses. You see, we know people in Poland. We can have them look up those addresses. And we got the the information back that these are totally fictional addresses. The same thing they're doing here. In fact, that's the crux of my Eisenhower piece, is the phony identifications and how they raided the system from top to bottom. And I'm not even talking about Child Protective Services there. This is obscene what has been going on for the past 100 years in this country. And we must put an end to all of this. Now, Dr. Mannix is still alive, but she lost her home. It took them years to take that away from her. And again, the same criminal element, the Sicado crime family in Arizona played a role in this. We know the Golub crime family in New York and Chicago plays a role in all of this real estate corruption. They actually own, manage, and lease the buildings that the attorneys and judges use for offices in Chicago. That's how far down the rabbit hole I went on that. Judges have recused themselves from cases. They have left the bench. They have retired, and they have been murdered over this. So this is very sinister. And we look to the courts for relief, and it's run like hit squads in a mob movie. So yes. So I just wanted to make that point, that this is very, very sinister, very evil.
Yes. Ordinary people have to realize that if they don't organize locally on a grassroots level and go after the, or let's say create the political pressure that's necessary to force a change, the abuse will continue to get worse. It shouldn't be news to anybody. If you allow abusive organizations to get away with it, they become more abusive. It never goes the other way. And the more passive you are, the less you fight it, then the more accelerated is the downward road into even greater abuse and greater injustice. So on a local level, you elect a mayor. And in many cases, the chief of police is elected. Sometimes it's appointed by the mayor, but you can still gain some political pressure by forcing your local town council and your mayor to force the police chief to review the policies of their child protective department. It's possible that if you had the right people in charge of these departments, and if you eliminated these avenues of financial gain, bounty hunting, etc., as a result of, you know, bringing more kids under your control, if you eliminate those incentives and then carefully scrutinize the character of the people who are overseeing it, you wouldn't necessarily have this abuse. I mean, it is possible, you don't hear about it much, but it is possible for police people to behave in a sane and rational and balanced way. We never hear about that, but I at least I know it's possible. You tend to get people who are the least appropriate for this type of job put in charge of these things.
Yeah, in the case of Chicago, the Cook County Sheriff's Department is paid for protection for allowing this to continue.
Right.
And they literally go to the houses of these parents whose children have been stolen from them, kidnapped, and raped and abused and drugged and everything you can imagine, not to mention their identities are stolen and put into these Ponzi schemes.
Yes, right.
Okay? They go to the homes and threaten these people. There is no there's no recourse there other than to get rid of the whole lot of them. This has been reported to the FBI and to congressmen. Congressman Leahy's committee knows all about this, what's going on in Chicago.
Yes.
I've seen the letters.
Yes. Leahy, of course, if you read Transformation of America, you'll know that Leahy is yet another NWO sellout, despite their posturing to the opposite. The reason I'm bringing it up is that your only avenue, local people, your only avenue of power is political pressure on the mayor and the common councils to put the heat on the police department and above all the police chief. He sets the tone for everything that goes on in the department. Another thing I just like to mention, particularly in the case of this gal, is the very rough abuse of unnecessary rough and harsh treatment she got at the hands of 8 burly men tackle and pile on to a 115-pound woman who did nothing to indicate any sort of, let's say, violent behavior of any sort. They simply are sadistic individuals who have the willingness to do this. They've been trained to behave sadistically, and they certainly do. She told me that they had clamped on the handcuffs so tightly around her wrist that by the time she got to the hospital, she finally got the hospital personnel to force the cops to remove, but her wrists were already now bruised and swollen. If you clamp a all metal handcuff very hard down on, you know, a delicate wrist of a small female and leave her in that situation for hours and hours and hours with her hands behind her back rather than in front, you know, where you can control it a little bit more comfortably in back of your, they always handcuff you from the back, for the last decade or two, which to me is completely unnecessary in the vast majority of cases. But it's part of, let's say, the brutalization, processing that has taken place with American law enforcement in the last three or four decades. And this needs to be stopped too. There's no justification for policemen to be tightly squeezing down on handcuffs. Their purpose is obviously to inflict pain and pressure and torment upon the hapless person who's handicapped. And nothing happens to these guys as a result of meting out this unjustified torture to people who get arrested. Nothing happens at all. They don't even get reprimanded. They should be called up on the carpet. There should be serious repercussions to pay for doing such things to people who aren't presenting any sort of, you know, legitimate threat to police. Instead, they just get away with it. In fact, the conduct of these 8 cops, they had no legal justification for haranguing this woman to come out of the car, because she got to the point, she had kids in the car, and she felt that they were going to break the window. She saw them with equipment, and from their body action, she said she felt the next thing, she was afraid the kids, flying glass and all that. She was trying to debate the less, let's say,
lesser
of two evil choices, right? So they put on this act. She knew, she's intelligent enough that knew they were snookering her, but she felt it was the better choice of the two. So they pretended to walk away, and she quickly got out of the car hoping she could make it to the house, but sure enough, they simply tackled her and threw her to the ground and then put her in these handcuffs, which caused her wrist to swell and you know, she had a little bit, you know, bruising there, because when you break the capillaries under the skin, so she had to put up with that for almost a week. Her wrists still weren't back to normal even after the week she had spent at that hospital. And the fact that these guys engaged in a completely illegal act there, police no more, well, at least those cops, no longer exhibit any sense of concern about the constitutional propriety of their conduct. It seems to completely go out of the window. The lady was on private property. Her mother owned the house. Her mother owned the driveway. She was sitting in her own car. She was not doing anything that would justify demanding that she get out of the car. She's got a little bit of food there. She's listening to the radio. Got a tank full of gas, can put on the heater if it's a little cold. There is no justification for them to demand that she gets out of the car. And the only reason she did, this is after an hour or so now, did because she was afraid they were going to break the windows next and, you know, taser her, the whole nine yards. They act so barbaric today. And we citizens have to stop this conduct. And again, the only writing to your state or you know, a federal senator, House of Representatives, it's nice. It's meaningless. They're not going to do anything. We know that now. So it's better to at least get the ear of your local council person who's ever running your town council. That's the guy to jump on, find allies or force allies and make it an election issue in order to put enough pressure on the mayor to in turn, who has the ability to put the pressure on the police department because he can control the police chief, at least in theory. And then if you can find cases of this abuse in your town, you know, these people are always left without any resources to fight these people. Essentially, you got to get on your knees to the CPS personnel in order to play the game. This gal told me that, you know, she went to one legal aid group there in town because she didn't have the money to put up for an attorney. And they told her, essentially, they told her, listen, your best chances are is don't make them angry. Whatever they tell you to do, do it. Don't call them. Don't call them on anything. In other words, he's just advising her to kiss their butt and just get on their knees, your knees before them and play along with them. And that's your best bet. I mean, it's as a strategy, she probably will be forced to do that. And maybe in order to get her kids so they don't wind up, you know, in foster parents custody, which would be far worse. She probably has to do that, but it's not the American way. It certainly has nothing to do with justice. And, we've got to stop these people from having this much power. And the only way that's going to happen is that you got to pressure your local legislator to start passing state legislation to require a judge's order before the police can simply assign your children to whoever they want to assign them to. We've got to stop the decision from being made by the, you know, the CPS representative or the social worker who's feeding back information to the CPS or whatever. These individuals cannot be judge and jury in these matters. We've got to have the rule of law in place, and that's not happening now. This is what.
Let me explain why, if I can. Many the attorneys and the judges and these guardians ad litem, which Nancy Schaefer mentioned, and the court-appointed psychologists or psychiatrists, and all these other people that participate in the foster home programs, are evil. First of all, let me say that. They're evil. These people are Satanists. They're pedophiles.
Yes, I agree with that. Yep.
Many of them have criminal records and knowingly are being put into those homes to destroy the American family and to break the spirit of these children. Number one, this is a cash cow for them. The biggest crime syndicate game next to the illegal drug smuggling. That they have, and they're using our energy to fuel this. Now, the judges are in secret trust pools that are run through Fidelity accounts, okay? They set up Delaware corporations, and they set up these trust pools, and these guys get money either in real time or on the back end of their careers. They get enormous amounts of money. And so they're playing the game. You see, the judge is the banker for the system. It has nothing to do with law and order and what is right and justice. They're bankers for this system. And our energy is what feeds this system. And they create conditions to drag us in there to give them the pretext the pretext to then go after your real assets. You see? Which they divvy up amongst themselves. Time and again, I hear of an attorney buying the house of a mother who's been left with three children, guardianship of her three children because of an abusive spouse, who she divorced. And as soon as they complain about not getting the money that the divorce decree, that the court ordered that the husband pay, the ex-husband, they then begin to go after the assets that the mother has. Usually they have a house, too. Okay? They have a job. They're all of a sudden fired from their job, which is what happened to Marcy. Marcy's case is quite a bit different because she's undergoing black ops harassment from the CIA and other black ops groups.
Yes.
She doesn't have to mention that. She's already talked about it. When I substituted for Dr. Adrienne Watcho, she for a good solid hour, she told us about the phenomenon that were going on at the institution where she worked.
Yes.
And how kids there are being tortured,
yes,
having blood drawn from their bodies numerous times a day, and describing apparitions, not hallucinations, very things she saw herself, same things she saw on the monitors. She's experiencing these things in her own home and has photographed these and filmed these.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not exaggerating one iota.
Not at all.
This is way, way beyond most people's comprehension, and we're not asking anyone to believe this, but Ken, haven't you even posted some pictures of
I posted a few, yeah. I posted a few in which you can see, but I have plenty more. It's just I need to find the time to put them together. But I have remarkable pictures, that some of which you've seen, that I haven't posted yet. And when people see them, they're going to be absolutely flip out. These manifestations of first alien entities are very, it's crystal clear. It's captured on digital photo, big as day. Many of these entities are human sized. They're not, some of them are smaller than human size, but a number of them are completely third density opaque. But you can see all the details, and they're human sized. There's also, we've captured photos in which CIA types, humans, are manifesting in her space too. There are various people who are acting as, what shall we call them?
Well, they're participants in this.
Participants in this woman's torment and harassment, and they too have access to technology that allows them to manifest in this lady's home. And this too was caught on digital film, plain as day. The few photos that I put up show a few entities manifesting in the aura of this lady and one of her kids. But I have hundreds of photos, not just a few, and they're all very stark. And this woman has enough of a headache just dealing with that, with the government's CIA principally. But it's a lot of government, groups that are working in tandem, FBI, DHS, NSA. They're all involved in this reptilian hybridization program that I talked about, a few shows ago. So this lady has enough to deal with just trying to live, day to day, when the husband is under mind control. He's manipulable, and he's generally a good guy. I think it's just that they're using him like a puppet, and he'll say what he's programmed to say. He'll do what he's programmed to do, and he's now instigating trouble. Again, he's being manipulated to behave this way for her, so she loses the kids. They want those kids for their programs, and since she's apparently has caught on to what they're doing, and she wants to stop it, now they're putting her through this hell, so that they're trying to take her out of the equation.
Yeah, they're basically setting her up for having blown the whistle about this, number one.
Exactly.
And the other lady that we know in North Carolina is going through the same type of thing, only they want her real estate.
Yes.
They want her property. And
yes.
And they likely murdered her aunt, who she inherited the property from, for that same purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is demonic. This is satanic. And it's rampant throughout this country. And when Nancy Schaefer says, please pray for these people, I can't emphasize enough how important that is.
Yes.
And if you don't know how to pray, learn. If you believe in prayer, if you know how to pray, then begin praying for these people.
Yes, that does help. It's not a minor thing. When people direct their intentions and thoughts and desires in this direction, if enough people do it, it's definitely a form of energy, and it does change the equation. These people will get assistance on a higher spiritual plane, but it does happen. So prayer is simply a request, a silent request to higher spiritual forces to assist in this matter, including, you know, we've got to stop this CPS abuse. We've got to stop police acting like they're New World Order robocops, and stop acting like Nazis and behave more like civilized, reasonable human beings, and stop abusing people who they arrest. And, above all, women. It just drives me nuts. I can't believe a physically large man who has all the training, all the equipment, all the guns and everything else. What kind of group of men would, you know, tackle a small woman when it's completely unnecessary? One guy alone could have just said, wait a minute, you know, you're going with us, and handcuffed her without all the tackling and throwing to the ground and down onto the cement and causing bruised shoulders and bruised, swollen wrists from excessively tightening. This is sadistic crap that's got to stop. And these policemen got to stop going along with this RoboCop training they're getting from, you know, these federal programs that they give them all kinds of free training if they just, you know, go along with this federal program and that federal program. And, I wish there'd be more internal backlash, if you will, within the ranks of policemen themselves to stop this stuff, this abuse of weak people who, many cases, aren't even deserving of being arrested. But if you're going to arrest them, you know, don't be slapping them around like you're a Nazi just for the sake of imparting pain on people.
Well, it makes you wonder how many of them are even human, to tell you the truth.
Well, you know, that's part of the problem. There are a lot of policemen now who are police chiefs who are Satanists, and that's a fact. That's shown up in many of these exposés we hear and read about, you know, the Franklin cover-up and similar Noreen Gosh's story, etc. This comes out more and more, and there's been plenty of people who've contacted me who've been abused, and it's clear there's, you know, highly infiltrated network of Satanists into every strata of American society. Ted Gunderson has been saying this for three decades, and I've been saying it for at least 10 years, and it's quite true. And the general public has to wake up to it, because this goes for judges, satanic judges, military people, doctors, lawyers. There is a large infiltration of Satanists into every strata of American society. And when we see it, we've got to recognize it. Last thing, Henry Mankow just put up a piece a few days ago in which he pointed out that there was a very high-level military person in the Canadian government who was found to have been a killer. At least they found he killed a couple of women. You're referring to him as a serial killer, and how can this be? Well, if you know the facts that, you know, we're aware of, is that it's not an exceptional situation. There are a large number of Satanists in the highest levels of military and government and elite individuals who usually don't get caught. Satanists kill people. They disembowel people, babies, adults, children. They eat flesh, hearts. They drink blood, and they hold on to dismembered parts. They got this notion that somehow they glean some power from doing this. If you remember, Jeffrey Dahmer, obviously a Satanist, would, you know, keep heads and other severed body parts because Satanists are taught and believe that you gain power from killing people and taking their life force and all that. So this fellow in Canada, can't remember his name now, but he was a very high air ministry type, military type. He happened to go to college with another guy called, I think his name was Paul Bernardo, I think is the last name, who was a Satanist, clearly a Satanist, who raped a lot of young girls, kidnapped a couple, at least two, that's known, videotaped everything, killed the girls, of course, after abusing them terribly and engaging in all sort of depraved acts. This is the keystone of satanic behavior. It's depraved. It's depraved conduct in abusing someone, hurting them, violating their body, killing them, dismembering them, eating the heart, and all that stuff. It's extremely depraved, and that's what shows up. And the way it's presented in the media is that these guys are somehow lone nut, you know, disturbed individuals. They're Satanists, and they're almost always part of satanic covens. These are the very few, very, very few, who get caught. And because in the case of this Paul Bernardo, he videotaped everything. So the police got their hands on these videotapes, and he's the videotape showing them abusing the people who he later killed, et cetera. But that's the exception. Most of them get away with this murder, and it's happening in, you know, federal buildings at night. It's happening in famous churches at night. I mean, people got to understand how widespread satanic infiltration is into America, Canada, England, France, Germany. It's big.
There's not a country that's exempt from it, I would say. Ken,
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, we're out of time. We've got to end the show. But I want to thank you for all this information. These are difficult subjects to talk about, but you certainly bring the truth about it, this dark topic. And I want to let the audience know that you'll be on Evident Footprints in the month of May. We're almost out of time here in April already.
Yeah.
So you won't be with us next week, but likely the first week of May. So I want to direct people to your website, educate-yourself.org. You can spend years there reading all the information that's there and still not get it all. But certainly now is as good a time as ever to start. And educate-yourself.org is the place to begin. So I want to thank you for being on the show and look forward to our next visit. Please keep me apprised of what's going on with this case, too.
I will. And thanks. And thanks, Don.
Okay. I want to let the listening audience know that I've had a discussion recently with General Jeremiah, and he sends his greetings to everyone and asks us not to give up our faith in God and understand that you may not be seeing what work the United Galactic Federation is doing behind the scenes, but they are doing many things. This rash of earthquakes that we've experienced around the world, the Federation has actually rescued thousands and thousands of people and fed them and attended to them medically. And recently in China, they did that. They're not always welcome because these people that Ken's been talking about tonight are bent on destroying humanity on this planet. And if you haven't awakened to that reality, you're going to see it manifesting. This planet throughout our galaxy is known as the place where where good and evil are engaged in spiritual warfare. They know that around the galaxy. And certainly those that are closer to it and are engaged with these demons that are destroying humanity and this planet know very well what's going on. And you may not see all the ways that they're helping us, but they are helping us. But you can help them, and you can help many of the victims of these atrocities that are committed upon humanity several times a day, if not more, around the world, by praying and turning to God. If you're on the fence, wondering what side you should go to because you like to be on a winning side, I can guarantee you that God the Creator, not God Satan, as he's been presented to us through the multitude of tricks played upon humanity, is going to win in the end. And I extend on behalf of all of us that know in our hearts that these people from a host of 575 planets from around our galaxy, outside of our solar system, know what's going on here. And we want to thank them. And if you can find some time in your heart to say a prayer for them and express gratitude, you'll see. You'll see. We're going to be seeing their craft more and more as we go through time. They see that this cabal, this international cabal that likes to call themselves the elite, the Illuminati, a one world order or a new world order, are in disarray and their empire is collapsing once and for all. And with that, I extend greetings to all those folks that I know there and thank them personally for all those that have seen some relief, some benefit from the madness and the insanity that this world is suffering from. Ken, thanks a lot. I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints. In the meantime, I'm going to say goodnight to everyone. Thank all the folks listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially you in the U.S. military. We know you know what's going on. Don't forget to pray. We're praying for you, for your speedy return and your safe return. Also, we'd like to thank those listening in on blogtalkradio.com at BBS Radio. Special thanks to Don Newsom for doing the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.